this. You know, we live in those times. And I was telling Pastor that comes to confirm that the Bible is the Word of God. You see, the Bible said that peril days will come, right? So if they don't come, the Bible is not true. So if they come, Christians shouldn't be surprised. You know, and you know, the world is never going to get better. You know, there are meetings upon peace and upon all those things. We know better. It's not going to happen because they've rejected the Prince of Peace. You know, they've rejected him, and we have him. I know. I was telling Pastor, well, I don't come from here, but I don't care who rules the White House. You know, because there's one person that rules over the White House, and he's my father. You know, but I have a question, and that question kind of tends to be my title. Considering in times like this, or whatever we went through this morning, what do you do when life doesn't make sense? I don't know. Have you ever been there? when it didn't make sense in your life? What do you think will work, didn't work? And what shouldn't work, worked? What did you do? When life didn't make sense. When you came to... I remember, you know, Pastor made mention of it. My father was funny. Very, very funny guy. In our house, it's kind of... You have to be funny in order not to go crazy. You know, in order to get on somebody also. You know, we picked on people. You know, one of them is just making a sweet dog. You know, he thought it was fun. You know, let me have fun with my children. One day I came home and... You know, he called me and said, hey, come. I came and he said, hey, go into the kitchen and you get a pot, you know, bring it. And it was closed, so I didn't open it. I brought it out and he said, open it. I opened it, it was snake meat. I said, Dad, I love you, but I'm not going to eat this. He said, what? I'm keeping it for you. You're my only son, you know. So that was how my dad is, you know, just very, very funny. When he gets things out of things that you might not get. You know, like adventure, even when you are sick. You know. So we've enjoyed him. When my dad was alive, I didn't have a best friend. I didn't have a friend, honestly. I don't go out. You know, I'm at home. I remember one time my dad actually giving me a command to go out with my cousin. You know, because I was fulfilled with my family, you know. And all those things. So it was working all right until one night, you know, a vehicle pulled into our house and brought the news that my dad was dead. I didn't know, you know, where I was. I didn't believe that my dad was dead. I just didn't. It was after the following day that I started weeping and I realized, okay, my dad is dead. Actually, it's true. I haven't seen him for about a week before the death. I remember thinking, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't. God, if you love me so much, and you said no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And my father is a good thing to me. You've taken him away. It didn't make sense. You know, for some reasons, you are going to face life that you think, this doesn't make sense. So what do you do? I remember one time my friend Gabriel, he's a pastor. Right now, we are best of friends. And he called me one night around 11:30. And I was thinking, okay, this might be a prank or very, very serious. It's because I know him. He can call me and say, hey, I'm not sleeping, so you shouldn't be sleeping too. You know, get up and let's start sleeping. So I decided to pick the call, and he said, I just walked home. I said, what do you mean you just walked home? It is 11:30. You should have been home at 9. Because in the night, on Wednesday, we go into the villages, you know, for a different thing, Bible study, prayer meeting. So he and another deacon went to another village. So we don't meet until Thursday morning. Then we come together and tell all the stories, whatever happened. But he called me and said, we walked home. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, on our way coming, he was with his wife. Nathan was with his daughter. Some people ambushed them and beat them up. and took their motorbikes and took their wallet and everything that they have. And I remembered on my bed, I said, God, this doesn't make sense. Look, don't we believe that God is all powerful?
Yes, he is.
Couldn't God have stopped them? Gabriel and Nathan were not coming from a bar. They were coming from a church. And I was thinking, God, why at this time in life you made this happen? Well, guess to find out, the Christian life is life not making sense. Either you are in one right now, struggling with life and other things, health issues, financial issues and all things, or you just came out from one and you have been prepared to go into another one. That's where God tries us. You know, our faith has to come to a conflict. It has to face something. If not, it's just head faith. We are going to read about the story of a young man that for 13 years, life did not make sense for him. And what did he do? Well, since I don't have much time, I'll go ahead and give you my point. If I don't finish, you have my point. What do you do when life doesn't make sense? Number one, stop blaming and accusing God, people, and circumstances. Stop blaming God. Accusing people and circumstances, we can do that. And we'll see it in the life of Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. And number two, see the presence of God in that circumstance. The situation you are going through, see the presence of God in. See the fingerprints of God marking life for you. And we'll see it in our passage. Number three, still be faithful to God and man. Be faithful to God. Oh, that one we said, yeah, we can do it. But be faithful to man too. Don't give up on man. And then lastly, trust God to work all things together for good. Trust God. Trust him. He knows what. He's not on plan B. He's still on plan A.
That's right.
So let's read chapter 37. Let's start from verse 5. Oh, let's go to verse 4. And when this is the story of Jacob. When his brethren saw that their father loved him, Joseph, more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably with him. Some of you that came from larger family might understand this. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. It means they added more hatred to the hate that they have. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamt. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheath." Verse 8. And his brethren said to him, "Shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams. Wow. This is a man that just came in and God has given him a vision. Now, a question. How many books do you think that Joseph had when he was this time? How many books of the Bible? Now we have all the 66 books. How many of them do you think that Joseph had this time? Zero. We are in Genesis, right? So, and now we know how powerful the word of God is. Now, they didn't have it. Did God communicate to them? Did God used to speak to them? Yes, we know. How? Dreams and visions. So this wasn't anything unusual. It's not like your dream, you know. It's not about my dream, you know. When I sleep late, I dream. Sleep at the other side of the bed, I dream. You know, that is not the way. They knew God has communicated to this young boy. They knew it. In fact, the Bible says that, do you know that it wasn't Joseph who told them the interpretation of the dream? It wasn't Joseph. It was the brothers. That said, "Shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over..." They exactly knew what God has done. Amen. or what God is saying twice. But instead of joining Joseph, helping Joseph to make life sensible to him, now Joseph is going to go through life that it didn't make sense. Remember, Joseph didn't choose this. He didn't choose his brothers. He didn't tell, beg God to give him that dream. God just dumped it on his lap. Yeah. Amen. You see, sometimes God will give us certain things in life that we don't understand. Sometimes God brings circumstances in our life that we don't understand. And when we don't remember what we are doing, what we are about, we'll get confused and frustrated. Now, people are going to fight against you. In fact, it was his own brethren, not anybody else. His own brethren. You shouldn't be surprised when another Christian is wailing something on you. It's okay. So how do you take it? And Joseph, you know, could have blamed God. He could have, because he knew that his brothers knew what was going to happen. And you know, his brothers did. They tried to rebel against the divine revelation of God. And they started questioning God. And you know, that's the trick of the devil. Long time ago, to question what God said. Shall thou indeed reign over us? You know, that's what they were questioning. And that's what he came to, you know, Eve and said, ah, has God said? The devil knows that maybe you might not fornicate, you might not watch dirty movies, you might not do this. He knows your strength and all those things. So he's not going to bother you with that. If only he can get you to doubt the word of God. That's right. Well, no, there's no verse in the Bible that said I cannot do this. Actually, I don't know whether this is right or not. And then you try to rationalize things out. And that's why, and you know what? They rebelled against the plan of God and became bitter. The brothers. Joseph would have blamed God. God, you gave me this dream. You knew my brothers. You knew these circumstances. Why? Why me? Don't we blame God in some of the things that happen in our lives? God, you should have given me a different parent. If God, why did you make me a man and not a woman? Now we are fighting against the transgender thing. That's we are blaming God. God didn't know what he was doing. And that's why he created me a female. Huh? Yeah, maybe it was a mistake. It's not a mistake. The Bible said that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's not a mistake. He knows exactly what he's doing. And God is not on plan B because you are sick. He's not. Oh, just because your apartment got changed doesn't mean that God is not in control. And Christians, we have to come to the realization that God is God. That's right. No matter what we do. Now, do you know, maybe this will shock you, that if you stop coming to church, God is still God.
Go ahead. Amen.
He's not going to. Do you know that if you stop worshiping him, he has trillions of angels doing that job for the best of their lives. Do you know if you stop praying, stop doing anything, plunge into the world, that doesn't move God a bit. He is God, and he will always be God. He is. You cannot explain him. So we should stop blaming God because it doesn't do anything good. The plan that he has for you hasn't changed. You are maybe changing. But for him, no. He's still on that. He's still on that plan. He knows the family. He understands the situations of the families. And he allows that. He allows it. I don't know why he does allows it, but you know that when he comes through, it will be perfect.
That's right.
But we blame God when, you know, I blame God for my skin color. I blame God for making me short or tall or whatever it is. Forgetting that God, the same God, came and hung on the cross just for me.
Right.
It wasn't because of anything else, but because he loved me. Stop blaming people. Joseph would have said, my brothers. Don't you think that he was wrong? Joseph was wrong by his brothers. Now, I don't know what kind of family you came from, but I don't think you want to come from this family. He said, well, you don't know my brothers. If you met my brothers and sisters, you would have said, well, maybe Joseph had it good. No, he didn't. Look, they hated him. Verse 7 tells us they hate him. Verse 20 said that they wanted to even slay him. They said, here comes that dreamer. Come, let us slay him and see what becometh of his what? Dreams. Do you know what they were trying to do? They were trying to stop the plan of God. You see, when we become bitter and doubt the will of God, the word of God, and become rebellious against the world, do you know where it sends us to? We want to even stop God for working. We want to limit the all-powerful. Man, do you know you can limit God? Unbelief. Psalm 78 says that, yea, they limited the Holy One. And do you know how? Unbelief. Unbelief. So which areas in our lives are we limiting God? You know, they cast him into a pit. Now, that is a paradox. God said, Joseph, you are going to be a king. And now he's in the pit. You know, that's like opposite. And I don't know what was going through Joseph's mind, but I'm thinking Joseph was saying, life is not making sense with me. It is not. God, why me? Then they sold him into slavery. A king in slavery? I don't know. But if my geography is right, where Joseph was to Egypt was 300 miles. And Joseph had to walk 300 miles, not on his pace, on the pace of a slave master who is sitting on a donkey or a camel or a horse. And have chains on him. The bus didn't come to take him home. No. And he has to walk. And think about it. What was going through Joseph's mind? Life is not making sense. Life is not making sense. Circumstances will blow you away. And when we see life very straight and linear, we will always be tripped off. Life is not that way. Right. Nature is not that way. Nature is not flat. There are mountains, there are valleys. That you need to cross and climb. He was wronged by Potiphar's wife when he got to Potiphar, you know, there. I don't know, but maybe Joseph thought, well, now I know maybe how God is going to work. You know, he has brought me to this place, and look, you know, I'm now close. I'm with Potiphar. You know, he was the second in command or somebody, big guy in the government. And maybe he will talk to, you know, Pharaoh about me and, oh, this is how God is going to work it out. And it didn't.
That's right.
It didn't. He was wrong. She lied to him. And then that lie took Joseph into prison for 13 years. But you know what? Joseph didn't choose to be a circumstantial Christian. No matter where he was, he knew his God. In Egypt, he could have said, God, that's it. I'm giving up. I'll not go to that church again. I'll not go to the Sunday school again. I'll not preach. I'll not do anything again. Because they don't know me here. And God, you gave up on me. But do you know what he told the woman? How can I do such great and wicked sin before my God? When it comes to Joseph, it's about him and God,
right,
not people.
Right.
You know, sometimes we Christians, we are Christians in groups. We smile in groups.
Amen.
But alone, we know who we are. And Joseph said no. Now, people are mean. It's true. Life is not fair. You don't get what you want. And people are mean. And you are part of people too. So sometimes you are also what? Mean to people. Now, people will do you wrong. But remember this. Every wrong that anybody has ever done to you have to go through somebody before it got to you. It has to go through God. God has to test it and realize that, yes, this is my son or daughter who can handle this thing, so I'm going to give it to him. I can trust my son or daughter. And then he allows it to come. It's from a perfect father who understands you. There is no temptation taking you, but such as what? Come on to man. Now, see the presence of God in every situation. Potiphar's house. Genesis 39, verse 3. And his master, if you go to verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph in that trials, in that sickness, in that slavery, in that bondage, the Lord was with him, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Wow. Even the unbeliever saw that. Joseph, you are somebody else. It's very sad that we have to convince people that we are Christians. It's very, very sad. They should see the glow of God beaming from us. They might not know what it is, but they'll know that, man, you come from somewhere else. Yeah, I do come from somewhere else. My father is God, and he lives inside me. In the prison cell, look at, you know, verse 20, the same chapter, chapter 39, verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because what? The Lord was with him. Amen. Joseph said, God is here. In the trial I'm going through, God is there. You don't know what he promised? He never promised that maybe he would take you out from the problem. He never promised that. But he promised, he said, look, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. He never promised anything that maybe he'll give you whatever you want. But he promised, he said, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall guide you. He is with you. In your troubles and sorrows, see the presence of God. Instead of complaining and whining, see what God is doing through that trials. Paul said that we were comforted so that we can what? Comfort other people. Have you seen the presence of God lately in your life? The fingerprints of God stepping all over you? Though you are not rejoicing. I'm not saying that, you know, maybe, oh, don't ignore the pain. No. There is pain there. Don't ignore the pains and what you are going through. But the Bible says, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, in Ghana, you think everybody's a Christian. We have signs, you know, sign on. You see Lord Jesus Saloon, you know, a vibrant shop. You see Amazing Grace, you know, full store and all those things. One of the signs is no condition is permanent. Your trial going through is not permanent too. You come out. Right. You come out. Number three, still be faithful to God. Joseph was faithful to God. You see it. In Potiphar's house, he said, I'm not going to go that way. Told Mrs. Potiphar, you see, God has given me a dream, and you cannot take it away from me. I'm going to be faithful to God.
Right.
Peter. Even with men, when you look, it's easy for us to be faithful to God because we know he will do whatever he wants to do, right? But what about men? What about the guy that is stepping on your toe? Still be faithful to him? What about a guy that once, you know, took the shotgun and just blast you? I love shotguns, you know. You don't have to aim, just shoot. It will do the job. But, you know, think of it. Now, I'm not saying that you should give your heart to somebody to cut. The Bible says that we should pray so that God deliver us from evil men. But when God gives you that opportunity to do good to the person that maybe is hating you, you go ahead and do it no matter what. Because maybe you are the only person that will touch him with Jesus Christ. Maybe you are the only person that he will read the love of God in. And if you don't do that, he doesn't see it. Still be faithful to men. There are good men, places. In the prison yard, Joseph was still faithful. Imagine, now, in those days, they didn't have juries or whatever you call it. They didn't have lawyers. No judges. No appeal for court. They didn't have the court system. So if you are in the dungeon, in the prison, there are only two ways out. Either you get out and be restored to what you used to be, or you are killed. That's all. And Joseph was there for 11 years. Nothing is happening. And all of a sudden, the prison guard came and gave you the keys. Be honest. What will you do? If I was Joseph, oh, brother. What a good opportunity. God, thank you. I thank you, God. You know, you are always on time. And I'll wait when everybody's sleeping. I'll not open only myself, because if I open myself, I'll be the only one they'll be looking for, right? And that limits the thing. So I'll open the whole place. And just tell them, friends, your life is in your hands. Joseph didn't. He was so faithful to man. He said, God's time. I don't think this is how God wants me to pay that bill. No. I don't think so. I don't think this is how God wants me to get that car. I might need a car, but God's time. And you can see that we have to learn to trust God when we cannot trace his hand.
Amen.
By faith.
Amen.
And then lastly, trust God to work all things together for good. I love this. Joseph trusted God to accomplish it. How do we know that Joseph trusts God? Well, if you go to chapter 50, verse 20, he said this. He said, ye meant it for evil. Ye meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. Joseph, I went through all these things, but I trusted God. Now, we know all this, you know, and again, when I think it's chapter 41 or 42, you know, the two guys showed up, the food maker and the eater, showed up, and one time, Joseph was walking around and saw them sad. Well, that is normal. In prison, you are not happy in prison. You are sad all the time. And then Joseph said, why is your countenance so sad? What is wrong with you? And then they told him the dream, and Joseph found out that he has a gift of interpretation dream. So he told them this dream, and it happened. Don't you think Joseph had hope? Wow. Something came. God is here. And the reason why we know Joseph had hope was that when the other one was leaving, do you know what he told him? He said, remember me. Remember me. Hey, tell Pharaoh, I'm a Hebrew. I'm here. I'm accused. I've been sold to slavery. My father doesn't know where I am. And I'm not coming out. Please remember me. And you know what? He forgot. For 2 years, two long years. Sometimes life hits us that way. We think that, tomorrow if I wake up, this is going to change. And you wake up and it didn't change. And it added more stuff on it. What do you do? He trusts God. The songwriter put it this way, simply trusting everything. Trusting through the stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus. What? That is all. And Joseph learned something that I trust we learn. Genesis chapter 41, verse 16. Now, Pharaoh dreamed a dream. And we know who controlled dreams. God. Pharaoh dreamed a dream and told all his magicians and all those people. They came together. They couldn't interpret the dream. And then the guy, I remember. Pharaoh, you put me in that place? You remember that? That was wicked of you, but I'll not go there. But there was this guy that told me that this will work, and it worked. And God said, Pharaoh said, well, go and bring him. You know one of my favorite verses? Galatians 4:4. And when the fullness of time, God works with time. He does. When the fullness of time came. In fact, the Bible said, and they brought Joseph in a haste. You know the Hebrew word for haste? Haste. Still haste. Very quick. Very fast. You know, there was a command, an imperial command. Go get this guy. Bring him. Clean him up. I don't want to smell him. And Joseph came. So Joseph came and Pharaoh told him the dream and everything. Now, sometimes, as I said, I love to be the person there. If I was Joseph, if you were Joseph, what would I have done? You've come out. And you are the only person now they are looking to. If I was Joseph, I would have said, hey, how much, Pharaoh? How much are you willing to pay? So that I can tell you. All my trouble, 30 years I've gone through, I'll dump on Pharaoh. Because I know he would do anything. Hey, Pharaoh, build me a castle there. You know, Get me some thousands of sheep, you know, goats and all those things. You know, get me male servants and all those things. And then go home. Go to my mom, my father. Tell them that they should come and see me. I'm a king. Joseph didn't do that. Verse 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. It is not in me." For 13 years, Joseph learned about his insufficiency. It is not in me. It's not in us. Whatever we are going through life that is not making sense, it is not in us to do it. The insurance cannot do it. Whatever you think can will fail you. We have to come to the point in time that, hey, just as I came to God to get saved, and I said, "God, if it was me, I'm going to hell. The only person that can make me go to heaven is you, and I'm depending on you." That's the same way you walk the Christian life. "As ye have therefore received the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in him." There's never a time that we as Christians should say we can do it. We can't. It's impossible. You cannot go to the White House right now and change the laws. You can't do that. But God can. And that's what he said. He said, "God shall give Pharaoh." He learned the dependency of God. That he can trust God. Though he might not understand all the circumstances that is going on, he can bank on God. He's unchanging. He's unfailing. He can do it. Anyhow, anytime, whenever. He can move anybody he wants to. And Joseph came to that time and said, "You know what? I'm just going to trust God. I'm just going to trust God. No matter what happened. Through the struggles." So I don't know what you are going through right now. I don't know. Sickness. Hey, God knows why you are in that sickness. Maybe for his glory. Do you forget what he prevented? Maybe you could have been dead. In our place, we have a saying. He said, "Oh, you are sitting there crying because your shoe is untied, and everything." Hey, there's somebody who is crying because he doesn't have a leg to wear that shoe.
That's right.
No matter how worse your problem is, somebody got it worse than you. But you don't have to go through that. You know, sometimes I think Christians should be the most happiest, beaming, excited people. Oh, amen. Not because they have the thousands of dollars in the world, but because they have Jesus Christ. But sometimes Christians are the most gloomy people you meet in life. The most mean people you meet in life. Her name is Fanny J. Crosby. Those that are musicians will know her. If I should go around and say, you know, give me maybe five of your top list of hymns, her hymn might come out. She wrote, "To God Be the Glory." Wow, I love that one. "To God Be the Glory." By the way, she was a blind woman. Blind woman. "All the way my Savior leads me." Well, one evening she was being tormented by her landlord to pay her rent. And she didn't have the money. And the day that the rent was due, the landlord came, pound on the door and said, "You know, you have to pack your stuff and go." She was on her knee praying, "God, you brought me here. If this house is what you want me to have, you have to pay the rent. You have to. I don't have the money." So after she finished praying, she went to her mail, took it out, and guess what? There was a check. And it was the exact amount of rent that she needed to pay her bill. So she came and gave it to the landlord. The landlord left her. And out of it came this song. "All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." Amen. And we love that song to sing. "All the way my Savior leads me. Cheers each winding path I tread. Give me grace for every trial. Feed me with the living bread. Though my weary soul may falter and my heart a thirst may be gushing from the rocks before me, lo, a spring of joy I see." You see, our trials are good niggers that God plays on our ways. What are you going to do? What do you do when life doesn't make sense? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so grateful that you have not left us orphans. You said we are engraved in the palm of your hand. And whenever you take a look at your palm, you see my name written there for eternity. That will never get erased. Lord, you promised that one day you will come and take me. That where you are, there I will be. The very presence of God. And Lord, we live in this world that is confusion. We don't know what the future holds for our country, our families, our lives, our church, the sicknesses that we go through and all those things. We don't know. But Lord, the good thing is that we don't have to know because you do know it. And he said, Lord, you will take us to them. The rivers will not overwhelm us. The fires will not burn us. Father in heaven, I ask that would you do a work in our people's life? And let your will be done. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I don't know how you finish your meetings, but you know, I just want you to think about it. Maybe you are going through some tough times that you think God is not there. And whatever it is, you know, whatever situation you are going through, that you haven't given it to God. Maybe one of the points, you are blaming God. You are blaming circumstances. You are blaming people. And you say, God, I'm done with it. Just spend this time and pray to God. Ask God. God, I'll stop blaming you. And maybe you don't see the presence of God. You whine, you complain. You complain, you murmur, why me? Why me? God knows. Why? Because you are his child. That's why he gave it to you. And you say, God, I haven't been faithful to you. I haven't, and I've given up on men. Or you said, God, I'm just going to trust you. It might not change. I might send this sickness to my death. It might not change. But God, I'm going to trust you. Whatever God place in your heart, would you do business with God?
Christians are praying, heads are bowed, and eyes are closed, no one looking around. Couldn't think of a better challenge message tonight for myself. I don't know about you, but the message was timely. What do you do when life doesn't make sense? I think I've had more days like that in this last 3 years than I've had my entire life. You know, one thing you've got to do is just trust. Just trust. It's not going to always make sense. It's always someone has it a little worse than you. But he asked some questions. Are we blaming God and accusing people and circumstances? We've got to stop that. Are we seeing the presence and the fingerprints of God in our life all throughout, like Joseph did? We've got to still be faithful to God and then faithful to man, as wrongly as they may treat us. God never told us to be mean to them. And we've got to trust God to work all things out for good because he's God. You know, God doesn't owe us anything except the promises in the Word of God. It's just by his mercy. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. I'm going to ask you to come if God has spoken to your heart. I've asked Brother Bruner to play Only Trust Him. That's on 328 in your hymnal. But let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. As you think about what God is doing in your life, maybe you need to come. What do you do when life doesn't make sense? You come to an old-fashioned altar and you give it all to the Lord and ask God to make sense of something that doesn't make sense. Would you come? Only trust him. Only trust him. Say, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't, but God does. God does. Would you come? Maybe tonight you're here without Jesus Christ and you don't know what we're talking about. You need to be born again. Would you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be born again. You know, maybe God has brought you to this point in life and things don't make sense to introduce you to His Son whom He gave to you because He loves you. Maybe it's for this place and this time that you heard this message that you might receive His Son. Only trust Him. Why don't you come? Let us take a Bible, show you how you can be born again. Maybe there's some circumstances going on in your life just doesn't make sense. Don't blame God. Don't accuse people. Don't accuse the circumstances. God has it for this time. Maybe, just maybe, God is trying to work a work in your life. Do you see the fingerprints? The presence of God working in your life? You know, sometimes it's hard to see because of our situation. But God never told us to focus on the situation or the circumstance. He said to keep your eyes focused on Me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. God still wants you to be faithful. Faithful to Him. Trust Him to work it all out like He did in Joseph's life. 13 years, things didn't make sense to Joseph. Although he had visions and he had dreams, things just didn't add up. 15 years, we'll be celebrating here next month of ministry in this church, and I can't tell you that everything made sense. I can't sit here and tell you that every hurt, every person that left made sense, because it didn't. But I do know I'm trusting God to work it out. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. What situation do you find yourself in today? What circumstance do you find yourself in? It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. It's not the way you intended it to be. It just doesn't seem to be right. Maybe you need to give that over to the Lord and ask Him to work in your heart. He may not change the situation. He may not change the circumstances. He may not change the people, but He can sure change you. And He can change your attitude about it. He can change your perspective about it. In a moment, Joseph was out of the dungeon before Pharaoh, second in command. But 13 years it took to get to that point. Maybe a while for your trial. Maybe a while for your test. Maybe a while for your circumstances to change. But I can assure you this, God will always accompany you through whatever you go through in this life. He'll always accompany you. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Say, preacher, did Joseph ever doubt God? I can't answer that. But by the scriptures, it doesn't look like he did. What about us? When we doubt God, we might. But let me assure you, God still loves you through your doubts. God still cares for you through your doubts. And God's still going to care for you. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're talking about in times like these, the only thing you can do is trust. Only trust. 328. We want to sing that hymn. If you would take your hymnals, 328. I want you to look at the words that we're singing. And I want you to sing it nice and sincere. Only trust Him. 328. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you. Rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flow that washes white as snow. Only trust Him.
Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you.
We often use that for invitational times, but you know, that is very fitting for this message. And Brother Darmani, thank you from the bottom of my heart. God knows exactly what we need, when we need it, and what we need to hear. Amen. And that was a timely message tonight from my heart, and I trust from many as well. Only trust Him. What do you do when life just doesn't make sense? By the way, if you have not had one of those moments, you will have one of those moments. And I trust you'll store this sermon down in your heart of hearts and remember when that time comes to trust the Lord no matter what happens. Amen. Thank you, Brother Darmani. Let's give him a hand. Amen.